You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Marvel Universe, and welcome back to another episode of Earth Station MCU. My name is Jennifer Hartson, and we are here to talk about all the news in Marvel this week. Not a lot compared to some weeks, but still some cool stuff, as well as this week's episode of Agent Carter, Smoke and Mirrors. And of course, I'd like to welcome back, as always, my co-host, Mr. John Raven.
What's up?
What's up, yo?
No, I'm not trying to be cool here. This is the way I talk.
That's just how you roll, right?
I'm just kidding.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm doing all right.
Good.
You know, it's been a long week and a very tiring and stressful week, and I'm just glad it's over at this point.
Indeed. And thank you for being willing to push back the time. I ended up getting to go to a very cool thing where I work, which is SCAD ATV Fest. They had some people from the TV industry in today, and I got to see a panel with some folks over on the DC side of the fence, the bad guys in the cast of Gotham. So that was pretty cool.
I saw Henry was posting a picture of him and Robin Lord Taylor, and
yep.
I hate you and everything you stand for, sir.
Indeed, Henry Hanks,
mad jelly,
friend of the show, and yet we are so jealous of him.
Yeah, he's
super cool. But yeah, it was really good. We got to see a preview of the episode that's coming out on Monday, so that was pretty cool. They're introducing a couple of new bad guys, but anyway,
We got to see. I know we got to see one of them at the tail end of this past at the mid-season finale.
Right.
It'd be nice to see his story expanded on.
Indeed. But that's over on the DC side. We should get back to
Yes, this
Marvel.
Has nothing to do with us.
It does. You know, we're comic fans
in our lives and whatnot, but.
But that's not what we're here
for. It's not for our show.
Right, that's not what we're here for today. So one thing that's going on, of course, is that TV networks are always looking at the ratings, and they have not been as good as they were hoping for with Agent Carter this year.
Yeah, I'm not very knowledgeable about TV show ratings, but when the commentators who do know something about it tell me that it's not looking good, I usually take them at their word.
Yeah, and it sounds like, in particular, because I don't necessarily know what the numbers are, mm-hmm. but they're down from last season, and they're significantly down from where S.H.I.E.L.D. is usually hitting. So that means, you know, even for a Tuesday night on ABC, it's coming in lower, which really is a shame,
right.
Because I think that this season has been really, really good.
It's been nice. It's been a lot more action oriented. This episode mm-hmm. was a bit different than that, but it's not resonating apparently with the same people who watch S.H.I.E.L.D. Like they're not tuning into Agent Carter like they would with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I guess, and it's I don't know. It's obviously it's a very different kind of show, mm-hmm. and it's a period show,
right?
And I know that's different, but it's not looking great for us to get a third season, but on the other hand, we weren't sure last year if we were going to get a second season. So
and as at least one article that we posted points out, it's still a Marvel show.
Right.
So ABC is not likely to just give up on it.
Right. I mean, it's still ultimately it's a 1-hour ad every week for the Marvel movies.
Right.
And the more that they can do to keep that in the public consciousness, the better. But
and we still have that tie-in that we've been told about for Doctor Strange in this show.
True, but what I would not be a bit surprised to see happen is we've got Marvel's Most Wanted mm-hmm. coming out, and I would not be surprised if that ended up being kind of like the mid-season bridge piece for them. But we'll have to see how it goes.
Right.
And we're getting up towards the time when they're going to start filming for Ragnarok, and mm-hmm. there have been so many rumors about what was going on in this, and for the most part, it's been a lot of just speculation.
Right.
But the director, Taika Waititi, is that how you say that? I'm not sure.
Well, he's a Kiwi, so I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it myself.
We'll call it Mr. Waititi. So Mr. W has made some statements that we can actually like depend on as being actual factual comments. He has, let's see, what do we got here? Mainly talking about the role of the Hulk in the movie. Mm-hmm. And it says it's interesting because at the moment there's a big conversation that's happening about how far to push the consciousness of the Hulk. Like, to what degree is he going to be, you know, have Banner's mind? And he says a lot of it has to do with what's going to happen in future movies. So some of it is kind of out of his hands, and it's more in the creative committee. But It does sound like they're definitely, you know, because wasn't there a toy that came out for Grey Hulk before Age of Ultron?
I don't really recall, and I'm not sure if that was tied into the Avengers films or if that was something separate.
Okay, because I remember there was, I think there was like a Funko Pop or something that was coming out, and a lot of people thought that was something that was going to happen, but
there was one that was a Funko Pop, it was a Hot Topic exclusive, his mm-hmm. skin was a bit grayer, like grayish green, mm-hmm. but his eyes were red, and that was supposed to be kind of the mind-controlled Hulk.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. But anyway, he's been talking about, having, and I'm just curious about how this is going to work, because he's saying, you know, it's not going to be a crazy comedy, like over the top, but that's definitely my strength. And that's what I think they were looking for when they approached me.
Yes. Because I mean, if you look at what we do in the shadows and what he's done on Flight of the Conchords.
Right.
Comedy does tend to be a bit more his thing. But
that
then again,
just seems like, for Ragnarok, though, that just seems like not the tone that you would want to take.
But then we can also say the same thing for Jon Favreau. We can say the same thing for the Russos.
Right. That's true. He's specifically saying that he thinks that's something that's going to get brought out in this. And that's not what I would expect.
Well, there's always a certain level of comedy in Marvel movies.
There is, but Ragnarok sounds pretty damn serious.
Yeah, but I mean, so is Captain America: The Winter Soldier. So is Avengers.
Yeah, but Winter Soldier probably had the only thing that comes to mind in that one is like on your left and a couple of remarks that like Black Widow makes, you know, towards the beginning.
It's throughout, even amongst the serious moments, you have these brief moments of levity, mm-hmm. such as when Sam is jumping out of the Triskelion.
Right,
and it's like, what? It was a 12-4! And Fury's like, not numbered on the outside.
right. Good point. But I'm cautiously optimistic, but very, very cautious at this point, because it just seems like a very different take than what I was expecting for Ragnarok.
I turned on the side of hope, and you know, one thing that YTG said that makes me feel a bit better about this is that he said he wants to put more of a focus on Thor. That one of the things that was a legitimate criticism for some folks was that mm-hmm. after the success of Loki from Thor and Avengers, his role got played up way more in Thor the Dark World.
Yeah.
And Waititi feels that that was kind of at the cost of Thor, who is the primary character.
Right, there's that, and I think with I've been ranting about Thor the Dark World because I just rewatched it this week, but that and Ant-Man I think are the two examples of villains not getting enough development.
Right,
and I think that in the case of Thor the Dark World, that was another thing that kind of got swept under the rug because of trying to put in more Loki stuff. And don't get me wrong, I am like a huge Loki fangirl, but it's not the movie isn't called Loki, it's called Thor.
It's not Thor and Loki either.
Right, exactly. Even though it definitely feels like that sometimes, but so yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. But yeah, it's gonna be different, and especially with Hulk, and it's hard because I was thinking so much of the Hulk stuff is serious, but on the other hand, probably the funniest bit in the entire MCU is still Puny God, smash, 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 which was just great. And so there's certainly potential for it, but it just is not, I'm just a little apprehensive about it, I guess. Another interesting article or interview that came out this week was some people talking about Jessica Jones stuff, and Marvel.com was actually talking with Rachel Taylor, who plays Trish, on Jessica Walker. Jones, who I always want to call Patsy. I don't know
Patsy.
Why. Exactly. It just sticks in my mind more than Trish does. But right. They had a good interview with her, and talking about how she sees the character potentially growing next season. Mm-hmm. The fact that she says this quote, I think one of the things that sits right under the surface in the first season is this not maliciousness, but certainly an envy for Jessica's superpowered abilities. And she mentions there's a very ambitious side to Trish, and I wonder how that could continue into a second season and what that would mean. So,
not to mention, we don't know what her crazy ex's red pills might have done to her in the
long. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, that's a very good point.
Yeah, this was made for those were made for somebody who was trained to handle them, even though he couldn't.
Exactly.
And not for the average person, and they had to go to some extreme lengths, I think, to make sure she didn't die from it.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly, and they did. I think in the first season, we definitely saw that she has the potential to be a hero. Mm-hmm. she's definitely brave, and she's smart, and she's got all the makings of it. She just doesn't have the superpowers.
When's that stop somebody?
Yeah, that's true. But of course, in the comics, she was Hellcat.
Right.
So can you tell us a little bit about what was Hellcat's deal?
I don't really remember exactly what her origin is. I think it's one of those things that kind of like, because Patsy Walker back in the 50s and the 60s was, it was kind of like Archie in the sense of this was a teenage girl's life, and this was
okay.
about her, like, this was My So-Called Life, the comic.
Oh, okay.
And when Marvel started transitioning more and more to superheroes, they started reaching back into their old stuff and like, well, let's make Patsy a superhero.
Okay.
We'll give her this other character's costume and we'll start calling her Hellcat.
Okay. So we're assuming that it's going to be a fighty kind of character. And that certainly makes sense in terms of the red pills and whatnot.
Right.
Not to mention the fact that if you want to become a better fighter, having Jessica Jones around to spar with is probably gonna make for some good training.
Well, and of course she's been doing that a lot herself already,
right.
as we saw. And one thing that definitely marks her as different from Jessica is that.
Mm-hmm.
She's very clearly willing to go the kind of costumed route where Jessica
right.
wasn't.
Right. That was a good good bit in there about trying on the costume. Was it Jewel?
Yeah,
that she used to go by. Yeah.
Yeah, Jewel was her superhero identity in the comics before.
Mm-hmm.
Her run-in with the Purple Man.
Right.
And that's exactly the costume that Trish brings out in the show. It's like, here, you should wear this. And she's like, no.
No. Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's about it for some of the stories that have been out there. But you wanted to mention some stuff about the Avengers game, right?
Yeah, the LEGO Marvel's Avengers came out last week for all platforms. I don't know if it's available on PC yet, but I mean, you can get it on the Xbox, the Nintendo, and the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever played a LEGO game before, it's pretty much similar to all the others. You've got the levels that you have to go through and smash everything. You've got puzzles mm-hmm. to solve. You pick up characters and special abilities and other items along the way. To complete the game fully, you have to play through the story first, then go back into free play mode, and mm-hmm. unlock everything else with all the other characters that you've picked up over the course of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it is certainly different from LEGO Marvel Super Heroes, which came out a couple years ago, in that this is entirely focused on the MCU.
Okay.
You've got other characters from the comics that appear, like I just unlocked Miss America in this last level.
Okay.
And she, of course, does not appear in any MCU shows,
right?
Or movies at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts you off in Age of Ultron, and it then mm-hmm. goes back and makes you play through Avengers and Iron Man 3 and all the way
okay.
through the end of Age of Ultron. If depending on what platform you've got a few other options as well. I actually purchased the Season Pass through Xbox Live, so I get extra levels, like 40 more characters it's promising me, including levels based on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
I also, since I pre-ordered through Best Buy, I got a Thunderbolts character pack with the characters from the comics.
Oh, cool.
If you're on PlayStation and you got the PlayStation Network, you could get, by pre-ordering, you could get DLC for characters and levels from Ant-Man, as well mm-hmm. as character skins from the upcoming Captain America Civil War.
Oh, cool. That sounds very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to be super into gaming, and then I can't keep up with the different consoles and everything, and have gotten into other stuff. But yeah, I'm sure we have a lot of folks out there that are very interested in that. Now, with the LEGO games, do they? Because you can
right.
you can get other like LEGO games. Can you like crossover characters and stuff? Or
not with this one. It's
okay.
pretty well self-contained. I mean, you can unlock tons of characters within the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're never going to see Superman in
right.
this. You're never going to see somebody that... You're probably not going to see somebody that you unlocked in LEGO Marvel Superheroes. You can't bring them over.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds cool, though.
And
it sounds like it's...
LEGO Dimensions is its own thing. And right now, no Marvel characters are actually available for LEGO Dimensions.
Huh. Okay.
It's all DC at this moment, and that might be by contract for all I know.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, the only other thing I can think of is we got there was an article that came out just today about how there are going to be more Inhumans, but it's like in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's like that's not really a surprise, you know?
Yeah, and, I mean, we got to keep building that universe by introducing new characters.
Exactly, and it you know, it says the synopsis in Entertainment Weekly promises even more Inhumans joining the growing conflict. Well, yeah.
Yeah, like tell us something we don't know.
Exactly, so that's just another one of the many articles that just doesn't, you know, it's clickbait, you know? Everyone
yeah.
will click on it because you think that you're going to learn something and then you don't. So
and, I mean, the thing I think that is really exciting for this season that
mm-hmm.
everybody wants to know more about is how is this going to build to Civil War?
Yeah,
we got
yeah,
three
definitely.
Months, and mm-hmm. people, or less than 3 months now, and people want to know, how is this going to tie in? Because, I mean, every movie has been tied into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. so far from, you know...
Well, in some of them, it's been bigger than others. You know, right. Obviously, with Winter Soldier, that was just a huge, right. You know, upheaval in specifically in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, but and then you had Age of Ultron as well.
Right, and in that one, it was, on the other hand, again, Thor the Dark World, right. Not really so much.
Yeah, and but, you know, Iron Man 3 kind of helped kick off the plot.
Right, right, exactly. So yeah, we'll see, but yeah, how's it gonna tie back around to Civil War? And I want to see what happens with Ward. I'm actually interested in him as a character again. So that's kind of nice to have that to look forward to. I think that's about it. Anything else you can think of?
Well, that's really it for now. We haven't gotten that much more information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we hopefully I have heard that there's going to be a big. Civil War Super Bowl commercial. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we're going to get these out to folks before the Super Bowl. But
next week we've got, even though it's not MCU, we've got Deadpool coming out.
Oh, yes. And we'll definitely talk about that. They've been doing some very fun promotional stuff with that.
Yes, and as a Manchester United fan, I liked seeing the bit with the team.
Yes, that was very cool. But all right, cool. Well, we will take a short break then, and when we come back, we'll be talking about this week's episode of Agent Carter, Smoke and Mirrors.
Welcome to Myobi Defend Your Childhood, the podcast where every week we put a little bit of your past on trial. Wait, you don't know who we are? Well, fine. First, we take a movie that you like. You know the ones. The ones the buses always had on field trips.
We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam.
The afternoon animated show tie-in.
Or rewrite history, DuckTales.
Woo. Or the ones your parents didn't want you to see, but you watched at a sleepover. So that's the game. Movies are 10 years old and the defendant hasn't seen them in 5. Then
we're here to talk about The Sandlot. When I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to play with the other children, so this is how I learned human interaction.
Ask them what they think.
Obviously, I remembered earwigs, because as soon as my parents found out that I was deathly afraid of parasites, they were like, let's show her Wrath of Khan.
So, in the end, does your past hold up? Can you defend your childhood? Tune in every Thursday to find out.
Hi, this is Siri. I would never, never ever listen to the Earth Station 1 podcast. Who the heck says howdy anyway? Why don't you listen to Chris Hardwick instead? I can get you his information. The Nerdist is everywhere anyway, haha. That was a joke. The Earth Station 1 podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstation1.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
Welcome back, everybody, and now we're going to be talking about this week's episode of Agent Carter. So there was, you know, we certainly had some good advancement of the plot, but I think the thing that was the most distinctive about this episode was we had a lot of flashbacks.
Yeah, we really got back into the characters of both Peggy and Whitney, and mm-hmm. kind of see how they grew up and how they became who they are today.
Yeah, and with in the case of Whitney, we had, you know, from when she was a little kid,
mm-hmm.
And we had different actresses doing that. But with Peggy, we pick it up just a couple of years before First Avenger comes out.
Yeah, I mean, we get a little bit at the beginning of her as a kid, and her brother and her older brother.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And then we just fast forward straight to World War II.
Right, right. And I thought one thing that I really loved about that was, I don't know if they specifically name checked this, but the implication is that she was in the Bletchley Circle, which they made a TV show out of a couple of years ago about all the women who were codebreakers in England.
Yes.
So that's really, I think that's really cool that's how she got involved in intelligence.
Yeah, and the thing I loved historically was the mention of the special operations. Executive, mm-hmm. It was kind of a precursor to what we know is MI5 and MI6,
mm-hmm.
And it was also it was called the Bureau of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
It Was it really called that? I always assumed that was, wow, wow,
That was a nickname for it, not necessarily one I think that the government officials faced.
Yeah. I don't think that was necessarily official, but very cool.
They were the ones going behind enemy lines, collecting intelligence, doing sabotage. I mean, they were the early spies for Britain.
Right.
And they had several famous members, one who is extremely well known to most geeks, in Christopher Lee.
That's right. That's where I've heard of that. Yes, that's right.
There was a great story when he's supposed to get stabbed in the back in Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
And, you know, Peter Jackson told him, I want you to make this noise. And Christopher Lee's like, no, I won't do that. And Nicholas's like, come on. And, like, he keeps trying to push him, like, do you know what it sounds like when a man gets stabbed in the back, Peter? I do.
Exactly. That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
But
there are parts of his file that are still sealed.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. But so we had a little insight into Peggy's background, mm-hmm. Some interactions with her brother and her fiance, which we did not know about prior to this.
Yeah, and her brother especially, because we find out over the course of the episode, her brother is the one who recommended her to the escort.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at first she's like, no, I want a normal life. I want to be married to my fiance and mm-hmm. I don't want to have all that, even though
right.
we see as a kid, she's all up for that and all up for adventure and fighting mm-hmm. dragons and whatnot.
Sure.
And, you know, her brother says to her at one point, it's like, no, you don't want this because it's basically been beaten out of you over the course of the years by family and adult expectations.
By the patriarchy, basically. Yeah.
And, it's like, this is not who you are. Fighting dragons is who you are.
Yeah, it's just, it was kind of weird because, you know, obviously her brother's very influential on her, mm-hmm. but we basically get, you know, her trying on a wedding dress, and then she hears that her brother's been killed, and that's like the end of the flashback part. So we don't know what, did she just dump the fiance, or what happened with that?
I don't know exactly. I mean, I feel like that was actually her wedding day, and it was just like, well, this is when the War Department decides to show up with the bad news.
Yeah, I mean, but that just made me think, okay, so does she call the wedding off, or does she marry him and he gets killed? I mean, I guess there's the potential to explore that, you know, in later episodes, but...
I think what the impression they give us is that she calls off the wedding, joins the SOE, and eventually
right.
becomes a member of the SSR, where
right.
she meets Steve, and all the events of Captain America happen.
Right, exactly. That's what I would assume, but it was just, it's kind of weird to just end it there, you know, to not finish the thought there, I guess. But on the other side of things, we have Whitney Frost, who had a not so good and wonderful childhood.
Yeah, creepy Uncle Bud.
Wow, that was not cool. But there were a lot of neat things in there about, like, her fixing the radio,
right.
which is awesome and shows, you know, that she's got the technical, the scientific mindset and everything.
Yeah. We get from Jason that, you know, it's like, no, when Peggy implies that Whitney is a genius, Wilkes mm-hmm. is like, no, I'm a genius. She's in a different category altogether.
Right.
And we get to see that where she is smart enough to fix the radio, smart enough to develop this self-propelling engine on her own,
right?
Smart enough to get into the science program as a teenager,
right? And as a woman, which you know is you know borderline unheard of,
right?
You know there
especially,
were
especially you know, and this is probably the 1930s.
Yeah, exactly. And there were most colleges were not accepting women at that point.
Right.
You know, you had some like, you know, like Radcliffe and whatnot, but that was a very big deal for a woman to get into college.
They were all female schools. There were no men here. There were very few women, if any, at any other institution in the
Right.
country.
So that's you know, obviously they're setting her up as, you know, a super genius,
right?
Which is pretty awesome. And then we get the scene with her in front of the movie theater and getting discovered and, mm-hmm. you know, hearing, oh, you got to change your name and everything. Have a name as beautiful as you are. Corny.
Yeah. And then the, like, I hate when he used the same creepy line about her smile that Uncle Bud did.
Yeah, there's that, and it also kind of echoes Kilgrave, too. You know, whenever you hear that, you know, you should smile. It's like, oh, creepy.
Yeah,
bad.
For anybody that's seen Jessica Jones, like, the word smile just makes you go, ah.
Yeah, just bad feeling. Mm-hmm. But so that was interesting. We, you know, it was a very obvious, you know, setting up the background of the two women and everything. And of course the other character that we've had that kind of a backstory for was Dottie. And, you know, as much as I liked, you know, the bit with the radio and everything, mm-hmm. Dottie just had a way better, more fun and more interesting backstory, I thought.
It's certainly, hers is definitely darker, but it certainly seems like they want to delve into the background of her main adversary each season.
Right.
One of the things I liked that was a nice tie into the comics mm-hmm. is that Agnes, little Agnes, is from Broxton, Oklahoma, mm-hmm. which if you like to read the comic Thor, during J. Michael Straczynski's run on the book, mm-hmm. after Ragnarok and the Fall of the Gods and Fall of Asgard, Asgard mm-hmm. mysteriously reappears over Broxton, Oklahoma.
Wow, that's an interesting tie in there.
Yeah, so whether that follows in the MCU remains to be seen, but we've already established that Broxton exists.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool, definitely. In terms of the rest of the show and everything that's going on, we've got some great comedic moments with Jarvis.
Yes, apparently the flamingo is not his only problem.
Indeed, he has experience with a tranquilizer gun because apparently
on both ends now.
indeed, and that was
mommy. It's the biggest horse ever.
Exactly, and. He is just yes. the best comedic timing, and he's just such a great asset to this show. I love him. But mm-hmm. when we see them interrogating Rufus Hunt, okay,
the show.
All right. So we get to see her sort of taking the gloves off, but it's nice because, you know, while you get the impression that, you know, torture would not be completely out of the question, Peggy's a good guy, and she's a super good guy. So rather than actually torturing the guy, she psychs him out and makes him think that he's got this, you know, horrible, horrible disease when he really has just been injected with the common cold. So.
And especially, like, after he has said, look, I got worse from the Japanese, you can't do nothing to me.
Right.
And she's like, okay, well, let me do something that they didn't do.
Right, exactly. So that was clever. That was mm-hmm. but the whole bit where I guess it was Sousa, right, who was like, mm-hmm. so what's going on? And she's like, nothing, you should just leave. And he's like, no, what's you got something in the trunk there? And she's like, yes, I think she said we hit a possum, was that it?
Yeah, and then of course it's going, help me, get me out of here.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, it's a possum that speaks English.
Yeah, not so much.
And that was another thing I liked, especially during the interrogation. Mm-hmm. You get her as the bad cop and Sousa as the good cop.
Right,
which
right.
Which is why, like, Sousa is always usually the good cop.
Well, yeah, because, you know, he's just a nice guy in general. But, yeah. But so we had all that, of course, and then, you know, the a little bit more with Dr. Wilkes, and a little bit more with I'm still gonna call him Red from that 70s show.
It'd be Vernon Masters.
That would be Vernon Masters. Yes,
we've got that was a great "We Are Everywhere" moment.
Yes, yes, definitely. That he is. It's becoming more and more. I don't want to say heavy-handed, but more and more obvious that this is Hydra. It's got to be, you know, the sort of the American Western version of Hydra with the council, and you know, Peggy and Sousa are all ready to go in guns blazing, and then he comes in and is like, "No, I'm going to put you in an administrative holding pattern."
Yeah, you're going to have an audit, and it's
exactly.
Like, if I was Sousa, I'd just be like, "Huh, really, really clever timing there, guy."
Yeah, I mean, I think
called him out on it straight.
Yeah, and I think that's going to happen because it's, you know, it's becoming more obvious that this guy is obviously in league with what was it, Hugh, is it Hugh Jones? The Ray Wise character. Hugh something, anyway. But yeah, all of those guys. And then, of course, we finish out the show with Whitney's little problem there getting significantly worse. I was fully expecting that she was gonna go to the, because at one point in the middle there's a they've got a Life magazine cover shoot, and I was really expecting that she was gonna go there and still, you know, have her hair, you know, down or something like that, because it seemed like there was no way she was gonna skip that, but she did. So that you know, she's already. You can definitely see where the Madame Mask stuff is going to come in pretty
and,
soon.
And, you know, at first she was kind of like, "Oh, God, let me hide this.
Right.
And now that it's gone all the way down her face,
yeah,
she's like, "I'm not hiding this anymore."
Right.
So she may have crossed the line from into probably being a little bit nuts over this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my God. that's, you know. She's getting disfigured and looking, you know, scary, monstrous at this point.
And she's not the only one that's being more affected by the Zero Matter.
Indeed.
Jason started seeing it like crack open in reality.
Right.
And he says it feels like it's calling to him.
Uh huh.
So makes you wonder what's on the other side of that crack.
Yeah, what's on the other side, and I'm sure that will tie in with stuff that we're going to see in Doctor Strange.
Right.
But this is also taking place, you know, what, like, you know, 60, 70 years before the modern times. So it'll be interesting to see whatever it is that we find out about the dark dimension is then going to be sort of on hold for the entire duration in between.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see. It just reminded me of the fact that, James Darcy was interviewed by somebody who was saying, "Hey, do you think there's a possibility that, you know, we could see young Tony Stark?" And it's like, can you even math? You know, because it's like,
right,
Tony wouldn't have been born until, you know, sometime in the late 60s or mid to late 60s. And
Howard is in no mood to settle down at this point.
Yes. And so we're talking, it would have to be on for another like 15 or 20 seasons to actually get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, any of this stuff that fills in the gaps between that era and the modern time, right. I think is always going to be fun. And
it's always possible that we could jump ahead, but nobody's even talked about that.
Sure, absolutely. And as we said before, you know, season 3 is looking kind of more iffy. But I'd love to see, you know, whether it's, you know, webisodes or anything to just keep this story going. I would love to see, you know, a 1960s SS. Well, at that point, it would be SHIELD. But you
definitely
know, with like young Hank Pym and stuff like that, that would be great. That would be a great series.
I know, and I think that's what a lot of people want to see. So I don't know really why they haven't started tying into that as much, and why they're keeping it pre-SHIELD era, because we've already had the one shot, which apparently, like, the show seems to be kind of undoing.
Well, actually,
it.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this. It looks very much like the California office that they're in. Looks like it's the set of the one shot. just in terms of the way the office is laid out and with the chief's office and everything. I could be wrong, but that it
maybe,
just,
but
it seemed more like that. So that would be cool if they eventually brought it around to that. But yeah, all right. So I guess time to do ratings, unless there's anything else you want to note about this episode.
Really.
All right, cool. So on a scale of 1 to 5 Bernards, using the Flamingo scale that we have adopted for this season, 1 being terrible and 5 being best episode ever, how would you place this episode?
Well, I'm going to give this 3 pink atrocities.
Okay.
I thought it was overall a good episode, a little bit better than average maybe, but you know, it seemed heavily focused on Whitney and Peggy's backstories, which I think could have been maybe a little bit more spread out, but maybe we needed this too. Maybe this is a breather in store for what seems to be happening in the next episode, because we've seen the Zero Matter is taking a greater hold on both Jason and Whitney.
I guess I'm going to go, now, I didn't hate it, but I'm going to go with a 2.5, because this sort of felt like the Agent Carter version of that blue episode in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where it's like we spent an awful lot of time doing, like, character development and backstory and things of some stuff that I think could be done, have been done a lot more efficiently. I mean, I get that they're setting up the contrast between Peggy and Agnes/Whitney, but I don't feel like I really know anything that I couldn't have already assumed. You know, we've already, like you said, we've got the line where, you know, Jason Wilkes is making it, spelling it out that he's like, I'm a genius, she's like something more. And so the example with the radio and stuff like that, that's great, but I kind of feel like it wasn't necessary. And they spent an awful lot of time on those flashbacks. And like even with Peggy, okay, all that we really know now is that her brother was the one that convinced her to go into the SSR, and it was his death that spurred her to do that, and she was engaged or possibly married before. But I just don't feel like any of that is really really helps to advance the plot of this season. And it doesn't tell us, it doesn't like show us necessarily a new side to either of the characters that we didn't kind of already know was there. So I just felt like this, you know, I loved the bits with Peggy and Jarvis kidnapping the guy, and I thought there was very good tension between Red from That 70s Show
and Jarvis's attempt to impersonate an American cop.
Yes, that was a great little bit of levity there. Yep. And so those parts were good. I just wish that there had been more of that and less of the flashbacks, because I just didn't. You know, as gorgeous as Hayley Atwell was in that wedding dress, which was just mind-blowingly beautiful, it just wasn't worth it for me. So, not a bad episode, but I just felt like we spent a lot of time sort of spinning our wheels when I would have much rather have been hearing more about, you know, about Anna Jarvis, or about, you know, Seuss's girlfriend, or about any number of other things that are more plot-related.
Those were a couple of characters who just didn't appear at all in this one. Anna was gone. Thompson was noticeably absent.
It makes sense in his case that he's, you know, gone back to New York or whatever, but yeah, I really hope we do circle back around to those other characters.
Because Thompson, as we've seen, seems to be catching on that Vernon isn't everything he claims to be.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's just a matter of time, and we've, you know, gotten hints from different articles about this. It's just a matter of time before they bring Dottie in and have Dottie and Peggy team up to take out Whitney, which I think will be awesome when and if that happens. So anyway, all right. So overall, you know, we had not our best week for the episode, not our most exciting week for news. But as you said, we've got Deadpool coming out. We've got a new Civil War commercial coming out, and things there's you never know when really cool, interesting news is going to break. So I guess that about wraps us up for this week, then. We ended up with a slightly shorter show than usual, but we will be back in 1 week's time when we will again be talking about more of Agent Carter, so we'll see you then.
A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy, and if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I had to learn a bit, live a bit, let it all sink in a bit.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.